Welcome back. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority, broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city and rebroadcasting on community and co-op radio stations in the Kootenays and Prince George. My name is Bob Russell. I'm your host today. I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, John Jurisic. Also hanging around from previous interviews, we have Hugh McDonald and Peter Rehor. And right now, we've got on the line Mayor of Langford, Stu Young. Mayor Young, welcome to the show.
Same to you. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay.
Hey, Stu. How are you? John Jurisic here.
Hey, John.
Hey, how's the car show going on out there?
Well, it'll be starting here in another hour out here in downtown Langford. So if anybody's got anything to do, come on out and have a look at all the hot rods and classics there. It's on Goldstream Avenue.
Okay. Excellent. Here's a little plug.
Okay, Mary Young, the reason we wanted to be sure to talk to you today, as you know, we're talking about sport in in Victoria and the Greater Victoria area. As municipal governments go, you've taken a leading role in this regard. Langford has and has been doing a lot in the Western communities to support sport and recreation. And I was wondering if you could maybe tell us a little bit about what you're doing and what's been behind that.
Well, I think, Langford, is growing quite rapidly, and a lot of young families are choosing to move to Langford, and this is where they're raising their families. And I think we have the largest population or demographic with kids and youth. So we're trying to do things, obviously, that keeps everybody busy and active and making a great lifestyle out here for everybody as they move here. So council 10 years ago or 12 years ago decided that we would make recreation one of our number one priorities. So we try and take our existing tax dollars and work with the development community to build facilities that were kind of, just a little bit above average. We wanted to make them top notch, actually, so that, people are excited about not only participating in sport, but also for the entertainment value. You can go and watch, rugby or soccer or football in a stadium setting. And I think that's really what we've been trying to do, is just to get everybody out in Langford here and in the surrounding area excited about sport and, getting out of the house, off the couch, and getting out there enjoying some good entertainment as well.
Stu, it's John here. Clearly, Langford 20 years ago didn't have these facilities. What prompted you folks? Where did this come from, that sport and recreation would become a pillar of the Langford and the West Shore community? What prompted you folks to clearly invest a lot of money into these facilities? Where did that come from?
Yeah, it all started with council looking at kind of our community as a whole, what makes a good community, what makes a safe community, what makes a community exciting and vibrant. And really, when you go across Canada and you look at all the towns, and really you have an arena, you have people come out in the community and they support their local teams, they support their school teams and stuff like that. So, as you're building new infrastructure in Langford, what we wanted to do is to make sure that, we could put in the sidewalks, the streetlights, and the beautification projects, but you want people to be active. And just looking from other areas in my travels and stuff, recreation became sort of a focal point of a lot of the communities and got people out and talking to your neighbors and watching, kids in sport and stuff like that and watching them progress. It's kind of a great, great theme or a great community spirit that you end up with. And so I guess council decided, and council's been great, by the way, and our staff just trying to find different ways to get these sports facilities built in tight times too, in tough times, over the last 3 or 4 years. But we've still managed to make sure that we focus on what we said we were going to do 10, 12 years ago, and that is to every year try and create new recreation opportunities for our residents and make sure we do it in a cost-effective manner and keep our taxes low at the same time. So it's a balance, right? Providing infrastructure for what you see in your streetlights and roads and things like that, but also at the same time taking a bit of money out of that budget and putting it towards new recreation facilities. And that's what makes our community now is really getting people out there, and you'll see a lot of activity down at City Center Park. And so it really really has helped our community grow in a real safe and fun, fun manner.
Okay.
Get people excited about being out there. So it's just a matter of council getting together with the community and saying, what do you guys want? And when you're building and building houses, inviting families to move out here and small business, the recreation was a big part of it for our community.
So now let's sort of fast forward to today and then potentially mm-hmm. the future. So within the past year, Rugby Canada has arrived to and relocated to Langford. All of a sudden, we're starting to see national programs have great interest in what's going on out there. Tell me how you're reconciling that. Are we now looking for other programs to come to Langford? Is that going to start to create an undue pressure out there in terms of usage of this facility?
Right. Well, as we grow and as Langford looks at, what's best for our residents and building these facilities, to get the facilities just a bit better than what you would normally build. We're a small municipality, but we've got facilities that a city of, 500,000 doesn't even have. So what we're trying to do is to make sure that, even though we're small, that we, I use the word cost effective, we put recreation services out there that, we can afford, we can put out there, and then we can get a draw from other sports organizations. And a national sports organization like Rugby Canada is pretty exciting for our town. A lot of people play rugby out here. We can now, partner with the school system on that and some of the other rugby teams that are out here. But, we're looking beyond that, too, as well, making sure that, as you say, back 10, 15 years ago, we had really no sports facilities in Langford. It was all down at Wanda Fuca. And when we wanted to try and get more sports facilities for our people, Langford growing as fast as it was, they weren't keeping up. So then we decided to start to build some of our own facilities. And just to kind of blossom from there, people got excited about the facilities we were building and they wanted more. And so hopefully you're going to see a new pool out there and three more artificial fields. And so that will obviously attract more attention nationwide as well when people see, how great these facilities are that we're building. And Langford's, up for the challenge. We're going to build the best facilities we can for the residents of Langford and also attract some great national sports associations, I guess, as well.
So, Stu, just before the break here, let's now talk and look at the future, which you alluded to a little bit. I'm throwing down the gauntlet for you, okay? Christine Sinclair is going to carry the flag for Canada today. Let's try and get that Canadian National Women's Program into City Centre Park. And are you going to help me do that? Throwing
Absolutely.
Down the gauntlet.
Yeah, sure. If we can get national sports teams to come here, we then know that we can attract funds to build, these facilities that we want to see out here. And we're going to be building two more soccer fields and a baseball field and the new arena or the new swimming pool as well here. Hopefully within the next 6 months we'll have all that going for us. So there's going to be a lot of attention to Langford, even more so than the facilities that we've got now. When you see what we're building every single year out here in Langford for the residents, it's going to attract some attention. And remember, we're a small town, but a small city, but we've got a lot of recreation facilities for our residents, and it's getting very exciting out there for sure. And I'm sure we'll get some recognition. I'd love to see another few national programs here. We got the best weather on than all across Canada. They can train here a lot more, and if we can bring top-notch coaches and athletes here, it's just even better for our school system and better for the the kids and the youth. They'll be looking to aspire, and they could look forward to maybe being on those teams one day. And I think it just makes, kind of sets goals for our community, sets goals for our council and our residents to make sure that, we're always striving to do the best we can with the dollars we have.
Stu, stay on the line, if you will, please. We just have to go to a quick commercial break.
Sure.
Think of the selection, the expertise. At Sawyer Sewing Center, there's a lot to think about. Sawyer Sewing Center carries all the major brands of sewing machines. Janome, Babylock, Fab, Bernina, and Elna. They have a full line of sewing machine cabinets to fit all brands. And Sawyer Sewing Center stocks a huge selection of thread and notions. Got sewing on your mind? Check online for their latest sewing classes at sawyersewing.com on Douglas across from Uptown.
Sawyer Sewing Center.
like us on Facebook.
I thought talking about cemetery and cremation pre-planning would be unpleasant, but visiting Royal Oak Burial Park proved otherwise. The staff are welcoming, they're helpful, they explained the choices I need to make, the options they offer, and provided priceless for their services. All of this help was provided at no cost, no obligation, and in a no-pressure environment. After visiting Royal Oak Burial Park, I discovered they're genuine about service, not sales. You won't regret visiting Royal Oak Burial Park on Falaise Drive or online at robp.ca.
Your smile, it's your passport to the world. So if you could make your smile as dazzling as possible, wouldn't you? Today's Dental can help. From whitening and cosmetic restorations to preventative care for the whole family. From a very experienced team of dentists and hygienists, Today's Dental has everything your smile needs. Today's Dental, taking care of smiles for over 25 years. On Oak Bay Avenue near Oak Bay Junction, new patients always welcome. Call 382-5233 for an appointment or visit online at todaysdental.org.
Country Canada. Everyone wants the most for their money. So if you need a new mattress, you've got to visit Sleep Country.
We sell more mattresses by far than anyone else in Canada. So when we end up with lots of extra pieces, one-of-a-kinds, mattresses and foundations that don't match, we have a huge mix-and-match sale.
And they're priced to sell fast. So what if they don't match? They'll be under the covers.
Don't wait. Sleep Country's mix-and-match sale is on now.
Fairway Market is proud to present the Victoria Dragon Boat Festival and the Lights of Courage Celebration. It's a good time for best buys, like Canadian Premium grade-fed boneless pork sirloin roast in the family pack, just $1.98 a pound, $4.37 a kilogram. Pick up your Lights of Courage lantern at any Fairway Market location. For fresh choices every day, Fairway Market. Proud to be local.
Fairway, every day, Fairway Market.
CFAX 1070 is where Victoria turns first for local news, weather, and traffic with more news than ever before. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority, broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city and rebroadcasting on community and co-op radio stations in the Kootenays and Prince George. We've been talking about sport and recreation today, and still on the line, we've got Mayor Stu Young of Langford.
Hey, Stu, you still there?
Yeah, still here.
You didn't get pulled away to that car show of yours?
No, not yet.
Stu, I think let's focus a little around money, revenue in the second piece. There's clearly a Langford community relationship with the Wanda Fuca Recreation Commission. I think that's what it's called. This morning on the Times Columns, the front page is a significant a large article around the money behind developing bike lanes. Talk about how basically municipalities that don't have a lot of money, that don't have a large tax base, can make all this happen and make it work and have your taxpayers happy?
Well, I think that a lot of it is this cooperation with the development community. I mean, Langford's been very successful working with the development community as they develop in Langford. They end up creating, you know, jobs out here, which is number one. We like to see jobs out here in Langford and good paying, you know, trade jobs. So, you know, from that base and most of the development community that is in Langford recognizes that when they get a great process and dealing with our staff here in Langford, that, you know, we ask for a little bit more for recreation, a little bit more for that. So you've seen a lot of the stuff that's done in Langford. We've been able to keep our taxes at zero or a small percentage increase over the last 20 years, yet we've built $30 million worth of recreation facilities. And so I guess when you look at that, it's a balance between, you know, making sure that we continue not to overcharge for the development, but also get enough revenue out of new development to help pay for these new facilities for the residents that are here that are existing, as well as for the new residents coming in. So, but everybody's aware of that, and everybody's aware of kind of the process in Langford that, you know, it's a give and take, and our process is fast and, you know, efficient. And what we try and do is, because of that system that we have here, we work with the development community and they help fund some of our recreation initiatives. And like you say, it's important to not only to do the recreation, you know, the facilities, but also the bike lanes and connect your community and stuff. And so that's really important to us too as well. So we're going to be embarking on that as well very strongly in the next 4 or 5 years. You're going to almost see bike lanes on every road in Langford, so that it's safe for kids and youth and adults alike to be able to bike around our community. And that's really important to us. When you do go down to City Center Park, you'll see that it's in the center of our town. And, you know, you've got a lake, 5-minute walk on one side, Langford Lake, 5-minute walk on the other with Glen Lake. And not many communities, you know, have lakes right in their downtown core that, you know, you can incorporate trails and cycling and all that stuff. It becomes a very, very active community, and we just got to make sure we put the infrastructure in place to do that. And we're very thankful for the development community for helping us fund a lot of these recreation initiatives. As development occurred, we, you know, took their money and we reinvested it in our community and built these recreation facilities and bike lanes and trails.
Okay, Stu, I like the way you segued and introduced wellness. Dr. Peter Rahor from Camosun College, you have a question?
Yes, I do, Stu. Good morning, and you and I met briefly a couple of times, you know, over the last couple of years.
Yep.
And I don't see myself just your colleague, but also see myself as your taxpayers. I live at a Bear Mountain, and I swim in your pools, and I, you know, jog on your trails, and I cycle, you know, on your roads. And I can tell you that I surely appreciate, you know, from that perspective, you know, what you guys are doing, you know, in our town. The questions I do have, you know, for you is that, you know, we all make a contribution to enhance, you know, quality of life of Canadians, and especially exercise participation.
Mm-hmm.
And we all do it. I mean, CFAX does it, you know, right now this morning. You do it, you know, your own way. My faculty does it a different way, and Simon Winfield does it, you know. But we all really are making a contribution here. Now, my question to you is, you mentioned, you know, you're building these fantastic, you know, facilities, but you also mentioned the bike lanes and, you know, everything else. What really in the future you see that, you know, like transformation and enhancement of physical activity of, you know, people in Victoria and at Langford, which would derive, you know, from investment, you know, into sport facilities?
Well, I think that, you know, it all starts at, you need a bit of a groundswell from your community, you know, people like yourself or people that are knowledgeable about how to get things done and ways to partner with other levels of government to get new facilities in. And it also, it's about councils too. You elect municipal politicians and you need to ask these questions. Are they supportive of recreation? A lot of municipal politicians say, well, that's not really what they deal with. They have no intention to do that. So what you want to do is make sure that politicians that you elect in your town, if you want more recreation, well, then ask the question, do you support recreation? Get people in that will build your community the way that the majority of the residents want. So you don't take one issue. You look at, you know, it's a combined bunch of issues. Like what our council has done just recently is we put a policy because we want more bike lanes. Well, 1 year or 3 years down the road, there's an election, and then the next politicians get in, and then they say, we're not doing bike lanes no more. So you kind of end up with, you know, segments all through your town. What we've now done is done a policy in Langford where we've said that for every dollar spent on roads, 20% of that dollar has to be spent on bike lanes now. So our policy is if we spend $1 million on roads, we have to spend $200,000 on bike lanes. So it's now ingrained in our decision-making process as politicians, and our staff are aware. And so what you do is you make sure that the revenue stream is there, and it's based on that. How important are cars? How important are bikes? Well, and getting around your town safely and getting people out of cars, how do you do that? Well, you need to have the funding formula that actually works. So, you know, we've now instilled that into our policies, and I think you can do more of that. You can say, how much is wellness? How much is exercise good for you? How good for the healthcare system? Good for our community? Gets people out. The more people out on the roads, the less vandalism, the less graffiti. As people walk around our downtown core now with all the sidewalks and the streetlights and everything else, we're seeing a, you know, reduction of graffiti by and vandalism by 60-70% from when we started, because more people are taking pride in their community, more people are exercising, more people are on the road. So, as you said, the guys biking or the guys even walking or walking on our trails, they got their eyes and their ears open in your community there, and you really build your community, enhance your community from a safety aspect point of view, as well as the health and wellness. And you know, there's nothing better than when you're growing up to play on team sports to teach kids, too, how to get along and to do that. So there's a whole, what recreation does for people and you know, how important it is to me, it's one of the number one things you can do in a community is build good recreation and good support. And getting the funding for that comes from the developing community, from the municipal tax base, and other levels of government that, you know, recognizing that it is important. The federal government has recognized that. The provincial government has recognized that.
Oh, Stu, I appreciate that. And you just mentioned the federal government and provincial government. You know, we know that physically inactivity is costing us, you know, $5.6 billion, you know, a year. And just, you know, in British Columbia, it's almost, you know, the $1 billion, you know, also. So I think the case is made. But we have issues of the childhood obesity. We also have seniors, you know, dependence. So we want to create seniors' independence, you know, issues, you know, and so on. Now, my last question and quick question is the Americans tackle sport participation through investing into the academic programming? So the universities are really the hub of creating and enhancing the sports. The Great. Australians are doing that through the community, you know, through the clubs. So, you know, 40% of Australians belong to some kind of club, although they might never play. They pay the money, they belong to that. The Europeans are attached, you know, to factories. Right, so Audi, BMW, Fiat, you know, they all support, you know, the sports, you know, across. So there are systems across the world. The argument is that Canada has no system.
Right.
So that is probably what you're trying to do is to create some kind of system, you know, within, you know. And
within our municipal infrastructure, we're trying to say, as politicians, if I say I like recreation, I think it should be one of the highest priorities of a municipal government is to make sure that we have quality recreation, and the other levels of government follow suit, the federal government, provincial government. There needs to be a funding formula all the way through, right up to these Olympic teams need good funding. So, and, you know, so you can start at the bottom, grassroots, work with municipalities, work with school districts, give them enough funding so they build proper gymnasiums, proper tracks, proper recreation. You put 1,000 kids in a school and you have no recreation facilities or not quality recreation facilities, well, those kids aren't going to do as well, I don't think, in a community setting or even academically. I think the healthier the recreation and the sport, the better kids do, I think, academically, and I think that's proven. And so there's so many winning factors in this, and Canada is fragmented. We've got programs for this, and the person maybe who knows somebody or is more vocal gets a little bit more money for their program. And what we need to do is to standardize it, much the same as what I'm doing with my bike lanes, 20% goes to that. Well, maybe what we say every year now, depending on if I have 30,000 people in Langford now, then we have to say that we have to spend $30 a year on each one of those, in, you know, on each per head. If we, you know what I mean? There might be a system out there, but then it has to be very well, the money has to be very well placed, and you have to use common sense in this, because I've seen a lot of governments piss money away too, and you sort of, so it has to be kind of a grassroots, you know, proper system in place that monitors where the money goes, so, you know, you end up killing programs by wasting money too. So, it, you know, there's a bit of work to be done in Canada for sure, comparatively to the rest of the world, and I've talked to Ken Shields on that. Their basketball programs in Europe are top-notch, and when you come here in Canada, you end up with, you know, a very fragmented system as well. And so people in the know that have traveled and have the experience in, you know, track and field, basketball, soccer, we need to talk to those people. You need to talk to the Christine Sinclairs. You need to talk to the people that are actually out there have been very successful. Why are they? Because they had access to these facilities. They had access to that. And maybe, you know, and their parents sacrificing all the way along. But maybe there's a role here that, you know, municipalities should play a greater role to make sure that everybody has access to these facilities. You know, and I know there's some great facilities out here, like with Sport Host, and where we help families that don't have enough money to put their kids into programs. There's those, but it needs to be a national program. It needs to be something that, you know, we look at recreation, and if everybody recognized how important it was for the, you said $5.6 billion you save, or, you know, the cost or whatever, we could shrink a lot of that, those costs down, put them into recreation facilities, you got a healthier community. And I know this is done all over the world, as you said. They have some great programs, and you can see, you know, success by these programs. We just need, maybe don't need to reinvent it. Just go copy the more successful programs around the world. But we got to educate ourselves. I'm learning all the time. I didn't know a lot about, you know, how recreation was structured, and but I just kept a simple approach. Okay, we got 30,000 people. We need two arenas. We need, you know, swimming pools. We need sports facilities for every 5,000 people. I think across Canada, every 7,000 people has a there's a sports or an arena. You know, I had that statistic about 7 years ago. You know, Langford had 25,000 people in no arena, and we shared the one down there with 50,000. So that's a you know, nice arena. Now we have two down at Juan de Fuca. We've built another here, so we have three now for 60 or 70,000 people out here in the West Shore. So, you know, we still don't have enough, but at least, you know, we're making those strides now. We're trying to do it economically and responsibly, you know, to make sure that we provide these sports facilities. So it's all, you know, like you say, you've got some great people in our community and around the community that have the knowledge. We need to tap into that and find out what's the best way to deliver recreation cost effectively and exciting recreation too. And then the value to our community is immense. I know that from a municipal perspective, and I want to do more. I mean, I'm excited every time we build a new facility in Langford for our residents, and the residents, I can tell you, are excited about it too. So you just don't want to sit here for 5 or 7 years before you build another recreation facility as you watch your community grow, and we should be doing way more than what we're doing now.
Mary Young, I thank you for joining us on the show. You're a forceful advocate in this area. There's no question of that. You can head off to your car show now. We're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to try to wrap this all up for everyone.
From the CFAX 1070 Community Cruiser, here's what's happening.
The Queen Alexandra Foundation Motor Car Gathering is Sunday, August 19th from 10 till 2. Admission is by donation. It's the perfect event for car enthusiasts of all ages. The Motor Car Gathering has everything from a car show and silent auction to live music and kids' activities. All proceeds go directly to the Queen Alexandra Foundation, which supports young people in need and their families on Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands. 18th Annual Dragon Boat Festival is Friday to Sunday, August 17th to 19th at our Inner Harbor. Watch 90 Dragon Boat teams from across North America race across the 500-meter water course on Saturday and Sunday. There's an eye-dotting ceremony on Friday, emceed by Al Farabee. If you want to find out more about these and other events, go to our website, cfax1070.com.
Watch for our Mini Cooper Clubman at local events. Sponsored by Mini Victoria and Windsor Plywood. From Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Beige. It's safe. It's boring. It's not for you or your bathroom. And why should it be? When you have over 70 colors to choose from, you can create endless possibilities, like a peppered ivory vanity top or a smoky topaz shower wall. Say goodbye to beige. Say hello to Tiberian. You'll find it at Island Marble, your exclusive Tiberian dealer. Call them today to arrange your free estimate. Victoria's Island Marble, your bath and kitchen expert since 1966.
Who's the stupid therapist here?
I guess that would be me.
Charlie Sheen is back on CTV.
We have a problem.
Why can't you ever come in here and say, we have a solution?
New show.
Anger is an ugly mistress.
New attitude.
I gotta go back into therapy.
Same Charlie.
It is a fundamental law of human nature that good-looking people are attracted to each other. I'm just a tool of evolution. This is how our species gets hotter.
CTV's Anger Management. Catch a sneak peek tonight, immediately after the closing ceremony.
Shop with confidence at Save-On Foods during Dollar Days. We're priced right. Assorted varieties of Western Family 100% juice, 1 liter, or assorted Quaker Crispy Minis or Rice Cakes, all at a card price of just a dollar each. Plus, for exclusive offers on products you want, sign up at SaveOnFoods.com. Save-On Foods, BC's very own since 1915.
Guten Tag, it is I, your car. Yeah, it is true, I am made by the world's best engineers, but that does not mean I am made of magic and moonbeams, yeah? I am metal and oil. No oil, no me, and I simply cannot allow that. Lucky for us both, there's Mr. Loop down the street. They have everything I need, even the vibor blades. So you take care of me, and I will continue our arrangement.
Get top-to-bottom maintenance from Mr. Lube, and take good care.
I'll get the Smuggler's Clubhouse sandwich with fries and an iced tea.
Okay, want a second floor reno on that clubhouse? That's where we take out the middle piece of bread.
Nice one.
When they say they're the friendliest little pub in Victoria, they mean it. Smuggler's Cove Pub in Cadbury Bay Village. Open from 11:30 to 11:30 Monday to Saturday, Sunday brunch from 11 to 2, and a great lineup of Victoria craft beers every single day. Smuggler's Cove Pub, the friendliest little pub in Victoria. Daily specials online at smugglerscovepub.com.
Your fair weather and not so fair weather friends. With a forecast you can count on. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority, broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city and rebroadcasting on community and co-op radio stations in the Kootenays and Prince George. Well, we talked about sport and recreation today, using the opportunity of the closing of the London 2012 Games to talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on in Victoria. You know, Victoria athletes played a big role at those games, but just about the expanding role or whether to expand the role of sport and recreation and in the community. And I guess, you know, just to introduce this last segment, I've still got, you know, Hugh McDonald in the studio with me and Peter Rehor and John Jurisic, of course. I guess I want to go back to, you know, I was, you know, in a previous life about 30 years ago, I used to get quite involved in sport and recreation issues from a federal and provincial point of view, and in that it was one of the portfolios I handled in federal provincial relations. And so I found myself in a lot of meetings with federal and provincial sport and recreation officials talking about its role and where we're going and everything else. And the thing that struck me at the time was that there was always and we're talking about the early 80s, there was a specter that hung over those meetings. And that specter was Montreal in 1976. And it hung over the meetings in two ways. The federal government, you know, which was responsible for funding elite sport, still is. The specter was our medal showing at those games, a record as the worst showing ever by a host country in the history of the Olympics. That's still a record that holds today. And, you know, the other specter, and this was a concern for the provincial governments where I was coming from, was, you know, just what a financial disaster it was. And if there was ever a way to not do a games, they did it. Decaying monuments left to the egos of small-minded politicians. I mean, is the Olympic Stadium used for anything today? The debt that was left taxpayers. And one of the legacies of those games that sometimes isn't recognized as much as it should be is that it was as a result of those games that lotteries and gaming was introduced as a legitimate form of public revenue. And two things coming out of that two themes I'd like to go on, you know, to discuss our last 30 minutes. First thing is okay, Greg Joy wins the silver medal, 1976, worst performance ever by a host nation and everything else like that. But in 1976, we didn't talk about childhood obesity. I think, generally speaking, I think most people would agree that in 1976, it wasn't the issue that it is today, that we were healthier in many ways, or at least on sort of the physical level. Today, you know, we've won 19, 20 medals, basically matching our performance at Beijing. And now childhood obesity and fitness and all these things, this is a big healthcare concern. You know, I mean, Peter, you did a good job of earlier segment talking about the actual cost to taxpayers of you know, people not being active. But there seems to be a bit of a disconnect there. And you know, is it that our you know, the role modeling done and the trickling down to recreation that comes from focusing on elite athletics, is that not connecting to the community? Or is our push in this area actually just in its infant stages? And this is the reason, you know, we had to do it and we're doing it, and just it just hasn't gotten through yet. Peter, I mean, you've written a lot about this. Maybe you want to talk about that.
I mean, that's an interesting point. And you're right, in 1976, you know, I think the childhood obesity, we didn't even keep very close data, you know, and during that time because it was not important. But my estimate would be about 5 to 7% of the children, you know, who might be overweight, you know, and obese. You know, that today we all know it's at least, you know, 35 to 45%, you know, when you look at, you know, the children. And the other aspect is the chronic disease, you know, which actually follows, you know, the usually the obesity, you know, the child, you know, the stage, and the chronic disease in terms of diabetes, you know, and you know, cardiovascular disease, and, you know, so on. So we know we do have an issue, and the issue always been discussed, you know, is it food, you know, is it nutrition, is it television, is it every family having two cars, you know?
Which part is it? Let me just interject. I found Mary Young's comment about the absence of a system.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as someone who worked in federal-provincial relations, I can tell you, you're dealing with, you know, fragmented sort of policy making every day. And so to my comment about, you know, is the point not getting through? Because we've had these two, one trend going in one direction, another trend in the other direction. Is it that absence of a system as a focus? You know, for health and sport and recreation that is maybe causing the disconnect. Is that maybe what the problem is? Or
I would say that's the number one problem.
Okay.
Our physical geography in Canada is a number two problem. It's a challenge, but it's not an excuse. And it's much easier. I think that the third aspect that we always viewed physical activity, sport being part of the physical activity, you know, as a two kind of paradigms. One paradigm being performance, and the other paradigm become entertainment. The physical activity and exercise is a behavior, much more than performance, and much more than entertainment. So we never look at, you know, the physical activity as from behavioral perspective, and actually try to connect and do interventions, you know, at a, you know, corporate level or school level, or community level from the behavioral perspective.
So Bob, you asked me here to some degree represent small business. I'm a small businessman myself, and I think we need to talk about Own the Podium money. I've heard some references to $36 million per athlete. I know that I'm fighting tooth and nail to make a business work, as are a whole bunch of my colleagues out there. I need to sort of connect how all of this money to athletes makes my life easier. I'm trying to hire folks and build economic development through the stuff that I do. I think there's a lot of us at some point just try to make it work, try to connect it, and it's hard. It's really hard when the economy is so difficult and challenging right now. I'd like to hear your guys' perspective, Hugh and Peter. I'm not complaining. I think that if Canada only received 3, 4, 5 medals, I'd be as with the most of us thinking, why can't we win more? A week from now, am I going to be thinking that way? I don't know.
Well, you know, we've all seen it. I mean, an Olympic Games occurs. We, as has tended to be the trend in the last 20 years, we do better or certainly much better than we used to do, and everyone gets excited about it. And a week later, you know, all of a sudden there are editorials and people wringing their hands and saying, okay, well, you know, we're spending this much money and, you know, should we be spending that money? It's both sides of the equation. I mean, there are people who are the sport advocates who want more money spent, but there are a whole bunch of people that say, you know what, we've got healthcare expenditures coming, we've got all sorts of demands on the public purse. Is this a correct expenditure, Peter? Or you?
Well. Certainly, Peter makes the point. I mean, if there can be a dent made in the healthcare costs, As a result, I think this morning we're talking about some elite programs, elite athletes. We're focusing on the Olympics. They're setting wonderful examples for the youth in the country. And if we can get the youth to use those athletes as role models and to get more active, then that'll definitely have an impact on Peter's point of reducing the cost of healthcare. We talked about 1976 in Montreal. While it was a huge setback, it was also a wake-up call, in my view. Even to the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, up until that point, had really been focusing mostly on the technical aspect of sport as opposed to the marketing of sport, which is more where my industry comes into play. We talk about the benefits of hosting events and the economic impact that it can have on a community in the millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And so having said that, it was not until 1984 with the Los Angeles Olympic Games where that completely turned around, where marketing was much greater focus on the success. And that set of games was really acknowledged as one of the best mm-hmm. in the history of Olympic sport.
We just have to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back in a second and finish off this discussion.
The grand opening sale continues at the all-new Dodds Furniture and Mattress location in Nanaimo and here in Victoria.
Come see the new products that were brought in for the big celebration. Both stores are overflowing with incredible deals.
Plus, Dodds has Canada's largest Serta mattress gallery with over 40 beds to choose from.
With nothing down, no interest, and no payments for a full year, you'll save even more as the grand opening sale continues at Dodds Furniture and Mattress.
715 Finlayson across from Mayfair and now in Nanaimo.
Summertime is fun time. It's hard not to overindulge. Sweets, sodas, processed foods. But when too much hits your system, gas, bloating, poor digestion, this is fun? Protect yourself. Take Ultimate Flora Critical Care, a therapeutic probiotic that can help improve digestion and fight bad bacteria. Find Ultimate Flora Critical Care at Lifestyle Markets on Douglas Street in Cook Street Village and on Fifth Street in Sydney. This product may not be right for you. Always read and follow the label.
If you have trees, shrubs, or soil, then you need the expertise of Bartlett Tree Experts. Now, tree tips from Bartlett.
As we venture out into our yards and gardens over the next few months, the results of pest and disease damage become apparent. Before you see the damage, it is advisable to have an arborist inspect your plants and trees, and often the issues can be solved through traditional or organic treatments, ensuring the health of your investment. For the tree company with local knowledge and global resources, visit Bartlett.com or call 1-877-BARTLETT.
Our lowest lease and finance rates of the year mean your golden opportunity. Why not test drive the 2013 RX 350 with available F-Sport package that includes a 3.5-liter V6 engine, 10 airbags, and 8-speed auto, and is well-equipped, starting from $46,945, including freight and PDI. It's the golden opportunity event on right now at Metro Lexus Victoria.
Who could ask for anything more? Metro Lexus Victoria.
Douglas across from Mayfair.
Many things have changed, but McCall Brothers funeral directors know people still need to gather and support each other when a death occurs. That's why they've kept with the times and have updated their reception center. Designed to honor and celebrate life, the center is fully catered, can accommodate small or large gatherings, and has ample parking. All arrangements can be made at McCall's Downtown or McCall's West Shore, Jacklin at Souk Road. McCall's Reception Center, helping to honor and celebrate a life. Visit McCallBros.com.
Local news on your smartphone. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Go to CFAX1070.com. CFAX1070.com. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. We're just wrapping up our last segment now. Talking about sport and recreation. Just before the break, we were talking about infecting the population, if we can put it that way, with the role models that come from promoting elite athletics, the benefits of that, and the public finance benefits of that, healthcare costs, so on. And then Hugh, you were starting to talk a little bit about hosting and some of the benefits associated with that. And I guess that's something I want to go to. I was trying to draw some stuff out of the disaster that was Montreal. And one of the things was, well, two things, facilities that end up being monuments to small-minded, big-egoed politicians and nothing more. People who just, they can't run a games. I mean, it's a different skill set to go off and win the hosting sort of rights for a game than is involved in actually delivering those games.
Exactly.
So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that. And that's your bailiwick, and that's something that just seems to be getting done better in this country than obviously was the case at Montreal.
Well, I agree. It's so important. You're right. We, as an agency, Sport Host Victoria, the Greater Victoria Sport Tourism Partnership, are very involved in putting together bids to bring events to the community. But one thing we would never do is to go and bid on an event that might have a forecast of a huge economic benefit without the sport community, first of all, being a huge part of hosting that event. If you don't have the sport community behind you, then you don't have a successful event. I mean, it's very obvious when we bid to host the Canadian Figure Skating Championships a year and a half ago, the most important thing that we could do was gather around the figure skating community to say, first of all, is this something that you could host and do it in a fashion to show off our community in the best possible way? And very quickly, we realized that they certainly could do that, and it was one of the most successful national championships that has ever been held. But it was because of the sport community. And what has happened is there's an expertise that has been developed. And I think, for Victoria as an example, with the Commonwealth Games, there were individuals that came out of those games that really do have an expertise. And it has translated. I can give you an example. Terry Wright works in Victoria. Terry went on to help organize the Pan Am Games in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. He was very, very integral. One of the, I think, second in command with the 2010 Games in Vancouver. And that kind of expertise is now showing benefits down the line. Terry's been requested to help out with the organization of the Pan Am Games in Toronto. And coming up in 2015, I believe. And so there is an expertise there, and it has to be about making an event work for the community in the best possible way.
Well, I was just going, and I guess the thing I've noticed that you've just hit on, I mean, we used to be concerned when I worked in provincial government, it was provincial governments who always got left holding the bag. More often than not, if one of these things was going to fail. And our concern was that, you'd see the local booster club go off and get one of these things. So we want to host these games or those games or that games. And then, they're great at getting them but couldn't deliver them. What you're saying is that there has been a professional class develop, almost like you would say a games hosting bureaucracy that exists now that moves around from games to games to games to games to games and a real professionalism to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So John, had a question?
Yeah, well, so certainly as that piece has been developed since the Montreal Games, mm-hmm. we've been getting better at hosting and organizing these events. I think that perhaps the last couple of games in which such enormous amounts of money have been spent on these things, it's now time to start to let's get a lot better at educating the business community why there's a healthy return on investment from these expenditures. We need more education. We need more training. I'm challenging Camosa. I'm challenging UVic. I'm even challenging my own constituency, the Chambers of Commerce. Educate us on this stuff. Why is it okay to spend billions of dollars on these events, and how can it impact my two or three staff? And I think we need to know why that's happening and get a lot better at that.
No question. Well, we talked about Montreal and what happened there. We had Mayor Young on earlier in the program. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's proved it. You build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. And he's at the leading edge of developing facilities for the community use, number one, and then because he built it, the elite programs are starting to recognize the facilities, the best facilities in the community are there, and take advantage of it. With Rugby Canada locating a national training center in Victoria, it wouldn't have happened without the business community in Langford getting together and deciding they were going to offer their residents some of the best facilities available, and then taking it one step further to attract major national programs. And international events will also come as a result of that, which will help with the economic impact that will justify the building of those facilities.
Peter and I have chatted around potentially bringing conferences to Victoria. Mm-hmm. I think that's a healthy way to move down that pathway, to have speakers talk specifically to these points. The business community need the small business community, mm-hmm. not the PepsiCo, you know, the Pepsis, mm-hmm. the Coca-Colas, the Adidas, mm-hmm. the small business folks. Mm-hmm. We need to be better informed and educated. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage and like to see those kind of faculties develop for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you can see, John, you know, we developed, you know, the bachelor degree in exercise and sports management. And the reason behind is because we do believe that sport and exercise, you know, are academic and professional discipline. Mm-hmm. Now, this is very important to realize. Not everybody believes that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
We're not sporters, right? We coach. Nobody says, you know, what's your profession? Well, yeah, I'm in sport. Well, no, hold it. What do you do?
You're
a coach?
No, you're a joke. You're a player.
Exactly.
Okay. You know, and it's, well, you know, gentlemen, I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut it off there. Great show. Hugh, Peter, gentlemen, thank you.
Very well.
For joining us. You too, John.
Well, I was in the breaks able to run around the block at least a dozen times, so it certainly benefited me.
I also want to thank our guests who participated by phone, Clint Hamilton, Director of Athletics at University of Victoria, and Mayor Stu Young of Langford. And finally, but not least, I want to thank Corey Pokinghorn, the producer of this show, and I want to remind everyone to not miss Corey's own show. Sundays at 6 o'clock. It's called The Jam. You've been listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070.